Thank you, Lord God, for your anointing presence this morning. Thank you, Lord God, that you are going to set the captives free this morning. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Father God, that your will be done in this service. And that we will come to a place in our hearts where we can say with confidence, you are good. You are good and you are everything and nothing compares to you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. We just love you and we praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be in James 5. We're finally in James 5. I think we got a few more weeks left to go. Maybe a total of three. Who knows? But I'm enjoying it. I'm getting a lot out of it. I hope you guys are too. Amen. There's so much that can energize us, that can encourage us in the book of James. It's not just good enough to read it. You guys know that. It's not just good enough to go through it together. Can I get a witness? But we have to apply this stuff to our life. We have to want to change. Amen. And God is ready to help us in these efforts. You know what I'm saying? If you want to improve yourself, if you want to be that vessel that God wants you to be, amen. God's excited about that. He's stoked about that. And he wants to meet with you and he wants to make that happen. Amen. So in James 5, what we got here is James is changing gears a little bit to where he's talking. So he's been talking to Christian Jews. He's been talking to church folk, okay? Not that the world couldn't benefit from this stuff, but he's going to do a little bit of a switch right now, and he's going to begin to talk about and minister to the unsaved, specifically the unsaved rich people. Amen? Y'all with me so far? Okay, now, before I get into this, don't begin to think, hey man, I got ripped off. I thought I was going to hear a Mother's Day sermon here. And now he's going to be preaching a salvation message. I've been saved. I got saved in 1984 around a campfire at a Boy Scout meeting. Whatever, okay? Listen, this message right here is good for each and every person in here. Amen? Not everybody, well, I'll just say this. We love each other, right? So we can be honest. Not everybody that comes and visits a church is a saved person. Not everybody that is a member of a church congregation is a saved person. I know it. I lived it. I walked it, man. For several years, I came and I listened to the preaching and thank the Lord for that because he was planting seeds in me. You know what I mean? Okay, but for many years, I come to this church and I wasn't a saved person. Okay, but say, hey, you know what? That's good. That's great. And I want those people to be blessed. I want those people to receive Jesus Christ. I really, really do. Okay, but listen, we can be blessed this morning too. Amen. We can get fired up this morning too if we want to, because if you are saved, and I can't judge you no more than you can judge me. We have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. But you know what? I bet this. I'm pretty confident of this, that we know somebody that has not received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior this morning. Amen. Somewhere in our sphere of influence, somebody we work with, someone we know, our neighbor we don't really like, whatever. There's somebody that we can begin to intercede for. There's someone that we can stand in the gap for. Amen. Okay, God is good. All the time, God is good. Praise was pretty awesome today. Yeah, amen. Okay, so James 5 right here. Now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourself in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing you. Amen. You guys ready to get into this? James 5 and verse 1. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Okay, rich people. And remember, he's talking to the unsaved this morning, and that'll be very clear as we get further into our text. Okay, rich people, you need to take a second and pause and look at your impending future. Amen. If you do not have this life change, if you do not have this change of direction, it's going to get really, really bad before you know it. So look at this. Think about what can and will happen to you. That's what he's saying right here. And let it do something in you. You know how when we begin to be convicted of our own sins, and it can make us miserable when the Lord is pleading with us. And we get so uncomfortable because we know we're not in that place we need to be. And the Lord wants us to have that healing and that restoration where there's been those roadblocks in our relationship. Amen. Same thing here. If you don't get right, this is not going to work out good for you. So allow yourself to think about what is heading your way. Amen. Because think about before you were saved, maybe you did this, maybe you didn't, but I was really good at pushing away those thoughts about what waited for me on the other side. What was waiting for me in my eternity when I took my last breath before I was saved? I didn't like to go there. I didn't like to think about it. So as a teenager, I like to do a little self-medication and different things. Didn't want to think about it. One day, when the time is right, when I get my ducks in a row, when I get married, have a couple kids, got my dream job, I'm going to come down to the altar, going to make my daddy really, really proud, going to give my life to Jesus. God had another plan for me. And thank God, you know what I'm saying? Because listen, those people that you know that aren't saved, you don't know how long they have. You don't know how much longer they have here on this earth. No more than I know how long my friends have. You don't know how long you have. Amen. But let's give ourselves, allow ourselves to think about that for a second, because I have a couple situations in my life that grieve me to this day, because I had these friends, man, that weren't saved people. They didn't confess to be a Christian. And I'm not saying they were horrible people by the world's standards. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying they did not confess to be a Christian. They made it known, hey, I haven't made that step. I don't have a problem with that. But that's not me. Not yet, not now. And so when they passed away, and they did pass away, I had a couple of them that this happened to. I was in agony, and it still bothers me. Did I do enough? Did I witness enough? Was I there for them? God, did they make that decision? You know what I'm saying this morning? Maybe that has happened to you. You know what? But it doesn't have to happen to you if it hasn't already happened to you. Does that make sense? So if we know those people this morning, allow this word to get you fired up about saving people through the Lord Jesus and keeping them out of the fire. Amen? Amen. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Now, the rich folks, they have some different obstacles, right? They have some different obstacles than we may have. Amen? And that's very clear through the scriptures. Amen? And one of those obstacles they have, the big obstacle they have, is for the rich folk, their God, their idol, can be right there in their back pocket. Their wallet. What does money give you? It gives you power. It gives you authority. You know what I mean? I don't have to look to a heavenly father for the things I need. Amen. I can go buy what I want to. I'm a self-made man. I can do what I want. I'm accountable to no one. Right? Right? But see, that's how the rich person can deceive themselves. You know what I mean? And don't get me wrong. Amen. We all have those obstacles, those things that Satan wants to put in front of us. You know what I mean? That can keep us from making that decision. Amen. And it is hard. It is hard for a rich man to be saved. But how many of you folks know this morning that nothing is impossible for our Lord? Amen. Think about that. For nothing is impossible with our Lord. Amen. And he can deliver. Okay, so anyways, Matthew 19, is that there? Yeah, it is there. Matthew 19 and 23. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven." Verse 24, "Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." But our God can do all things. Amen. And I want us to really, really, really think about your neighborhood. Because that's what I would been, this is one of the things that I've really been convicted about lately. I got some good neighbors, man. And but there's some people that are really, really close. And all my neighbors right around me, they know I'm a Christian, man. You know? But there's a couple of them that, I'll be honest with you. There's a dude that lives right beside me. I ain't never really ever talked to the dude. I don't know anything about him. I don't know if he's a bad guy, a good guy, a cool guy, a hip guy. But I haven't talked to him, let alone witnessed to him. You know what I mean? I know he's seen me yell at my kids a time or two. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody perfect, right? But see, what about that? What about the people in our neighborhood? And I know some of you guys are like, yeah, my neighborhood, those guys around me, they are scoundrels and I don't like them. And, you know, we may have people in our neighborhood that we don't like that much. I'm sure that's true with some of us. But Jesus loves them. Jesus died for them. That's what I'm saying, man. We need to get convicted. We need to get convicted because time's short, man. Remember last week we talked about that? The Lord's will must be done. His time is short, and we don't know how much time we have. But He wants to use us. He wants us to intercede for these people in our lives around us. You know what I mean? God is good. That's what I'm trying to say this morning. God is good. Okay, let's go to the next slide. James 5 and verse 2. Your riches have rotted, and your garments are moth-eaten. This is like a nightmare for the rich guy. Imagine how this rich guy in his palace, and he looks out and he sees his fields and fields and fields that are supposed to be harvested soon. And you know, that stuff's money. That stuff's money in the bank. Especially back then, you know, he looks out and, okay, over here's the livestock and over here's the acres and acres and acres that he's got people working in. And it's just about time for that money to start coming in. And he looks out and it's all rotted. And his livestock's dead with their legs all stiff looking up in the air. Oh, guys, people say, that's nasty. Well, the flies buzzing around and all that. James is painting a picture for these guys. He's painting a picture. And James is very serious about this stuff. Amen? Because why does James care about it? Because God cares about it. You know what I mean? That's the thing that we got to make the connection with right there. If God cares about this stuff and we know about it, then we need to be doing something about it. Amen? Does that make sense? Okay. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Verse 3, your gold and silver have corroded. Here's a very, very, very good point that we all know. But for some reason, we still try and collect and hoard and get everything our little hearts ever wanted. You know what I mean? You can't take none of this stuff with you. It doesn't matter how much you accumulate, how much you got, even if you make a deal with somebody, with your buddies, your bros, your best friends, your significant other, that when I pass away, I want you to fill my wallet full of $100 bills and just pile on the money. You know what I mean? If somebody don't get to that first when they burying you, you know what I mean? It ain't gonna do you no good. It's just gonna rot. You can't take nothing with you. Amen. But we can take souls with us. We can take souls with us. And yeah, give them some praise this morning. Get excited. See, the Lord wants us to get off the selfish program. Let's talk to Christians for a second. The Lord wants us to get off this selfish thing. Amen. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm a saved person. Well, that's good. That's great. And that's awesome. And all God's people said, that is awesome. But the Lord wants to use us. Amen? So we got to be about our Father's business. James has been talking about this. We've been talking about it for 14 weeks now. Christians are supposed to be bearing some fruit. Christians are supposed to be loving their neighbors. Amen? Christians are supposed to be acting a certain way for that witness. Amen? God wants to use His people. Amen? I'm glad we get to congregate, and I love congregating with all you guys. But see, the Lord wants to use us so much more outside of these four walls. Amen? So we got to get fired up and we got to get about it because time is short. Amen. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you. Will be evidence against you. The fact that your money is just piling up, that's going to be exhibit A against you right there. At that time of judgment, if you have not made that decision to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? Jesus will not be your lawyer then. Let me say that again. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus will not represent you. Amen? That means he will be on the opposing side of where you're at. And what if he puts down a big old bag, burlap sack, full of a bunch of money that's all rotted because you never used it for his glory? You never used it to further his kingdom because you weren't saved, right? You weren't saved, so I was about doing what I wanted to do. Amen? What he's saying is, that's exhibit A. The Lord looks at the heart right there. Here, you got this bunch of money. You didn't do nothing with it for me. Amen? You didn't do nothing with it for me. That was all about you. Matter of fact, you just got high looking at your bank statement. You just loved it. You just love counting your money. And look, it's all rotted. You didn't get to do nothing productive with it. Amen? But if you would have been my servant, you would have used this right here. And I would have blessed you with more and more, and you never would have went without. But you couldn't get off of the selfish program. You couldn't fall on your knees before me and accept me because it was all about you. Well, now it's time to pay the piper. Nobody wants to be there, right? And probably none of us are going to be there because probably most of us have accepted Jesus Christ. But what about your children? What about your uncles? What about your aunts? What about your neighbor? What about when God says, I want you to have a heart for a lost and dying world? I want you to go make disciples of all men. Amen? Well, we're going to do that, but I want to do that, but first I got to focus on fixing up these buildings here at Victory Life Church. And the reason why I say that, I'm not saying any of you thought about that, but that's how I thought. That's how I thought, well, we're going to start doing more out in this community, but right now we got to get these buildings fixed. We only got a certain amount of time. What about if we're about our Father's business, he'll be about ours? How about them apples? And all God's people said, how about them apples? Amen. Amen. I want you guys to pray for this nation, that we have revival. I want you to pray that you want revival in your home. Because before this church ever gets fired up, a couple folks are going to have to get fired up at home. You know what I mean? And we just got to get to that place where we want the Lord's will to be done. We got to get to that place. And when we get fired up and in love with the Lord, we won't be able to look the other way. We won't be able to look the other way. Amen? God is awesome. You still said it, Kiwi. I was like, if I say God is awesome, she won't say it. Not that I mind, not that I bother. Okay. God is good. Okay, so what's going on today? Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you. Now listen to this. James is really going to let these guys have it right here. Corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. This is exhibit A. This is evidence against you of where your heart is. And guess what? The proof is in the pudding. Now you are condemned. May it never be so. Amen? The Bible says an awful lot about hell. And I haven't preached an awful lot about hell. A little bit here and there. And God is a God of love and a God of grace and a God of mercy. But I really want to drive this point home this morning that there are people in our lives that have not made that decision to accept that grace and that mercy yet. Amen? Are you with me? I'm going to read this for you. Right there in Matthew 13 and verse 42. Little pictures of hell. Little pictures of hell. That's my country song about my first marriage I'm writing. I'm just playing. I'm just playing. That's a little Mother's Day humor. I'm just playing. But that woke some people up, right? I'm going to get in trouble for that one. I'm a blessed man. That's all I can say. I'm a blessed man. Amen. Ooh, you should have seen the looks I got right there. Okay, anyways, let's get serious. Yeah, I shouldn't have said that at all. Matthew 13 and verse 42. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We've heard that a lot, but let's not let it lose its power. Amen. Fiery furnace, that sounds pretty horrible as it is. Fiery furnace where there will be weeping. Weeping, sadness, extreme sadness like you have never known on this side. You know what I mean? Where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'll be honest with you, I never got the gnashing of teeth thing for a couple of years until I did my own little study and my research, because I always thought, I always assumed that the gnashing of teeth part was like when you get hurt really bad and you're going through a lot of pain and you're like gritting your teeth or something. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that at all. What it means is like when Stephen was preaching and the Pharisees gnashed their teeth at him, they hated him. So it's that sign of hatred. So look, hell is going to be a sad, sad, sad place like I can't even begin to put into words. Where there's going to be a lot of pain and a lot of torment that we can't even begin to fathom. And there's going to be nothing but hate. Nothing but hate. Did you hear me? Okay. So take, I'm not going to say that. It's just going to be an absolute horrible place. If you saw your mother there, happy Mother's Day. If you saw your mother there, you wouldn't smile at her. You wouldn't want to give her a hug because there's no love. It's just hate. Now listen to this, Mark 9:48, where the worm dies not. All God's people said that's nasty. Now think about it like this. There's people in our lives that could be heading there where the worm dies not. Think about that. When I was a kid, I'd ride my bike around East Milton out in the woods, and you would smell this rancid, nasty odor, and all of a sudden, you'd pull up on this animal, this nasty animal that got hit by a car or something like that, and guess what was in that animal? Yeah, all over the thing. And the stench. Now, getting your attention? Yeah, okay. We don't want to go there. Let's think about our loved ones, man. Amen. Where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. The fire is not quenched. That means, guess what? It's not going to get better. It's not going to slack up. It's not going to slack off. It's not ever going to be something you can handle. Oh, yeah, Joe. Yeah, I've been here a couple thousand years here. Yeah, you kind of get used to it. Nope. It's horrible from forever. I was going to say start to finish. There ain't no finish. Where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasures. You have laid up treasure in the last days. So time is short. And here you go, rich guy. It's all been about you. It's all been about you, and time is so short. You've been working on yourself and what's going to make you happy when you could have been laying up treasure for yourself in heaven, where no worm, no moth, no corrosion, no corruption can get to it. You know what I mean? But see, if you're in here today and we're talking about this, and may the Lord convict us. Amen. There's nothing I can do about it. I don't have no power. I'm not even that good at talking. You know what I mean? But may the Lord convict us. Amen. If we haven't been saved, You got to do it today. You got to do it today. You do not know how long you have. You don't know. I guarantee you, people went to sleep last night and they didn't wake up. I guarantee you. I promise you that. I guarantee you, people were driving to their location this morning and never made it there. Can I get a witness? Behold the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud. Okay. Ungodly rich guy. Time is short. Today is the day of salvation. You need to repent. That money, that pocketbook, that has been your God. Now let's look a little closer here. And let's analyze this, because one sin, this is so true, guys. This is so absolutely true. Look at your own life, because I look at mine and there it is. One sin always leads to another sin. Because this money was your God, you were treating these other people wrong. You were cheating. You were ripping these people off. These people in the fields that were breaking their backs so you could live the life you wanted to live, you're ripping them off. Amen? Remember, one sin will always lead to another sin. And you're going to get deeper and deeper and deeper. Amen? Behold the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. Did you hear that? Think about that for a second. God doesn't miss out on nothing. God sees everything. Amen? This whole thing where people get up in their pride and their arrogance and say, well, if there is a God, I'm going to tell him this, this, and that. No, you're not. No, you absolutely, positively are not. All God's people said, speechless. You ain't going to have a leg to stand on. Praise God that we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. But what about our neighbors? What about that guy that lives beside me? What about the people that live beside you? What about the people we work with? What about the guy in the line at the restaurant? God wants us to be about His business. Amen. Now, also, for us saved folks this morning, I'm almost done, y'all. Give me just a few more minutes of your attention. For us saved folks in here this morning, you know we're going to be held accountable for the things we didn't do for Him. We are going to have to answer for that. You know what I mean? Let that be an incentive. You know what I mean? So we can get fired up, man, and be about our Lord's business. Oh, my goodness gracious. Little Gracie. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. So these guys that James is talking to this morning, their love, their God, their idol, what they worship is money. And like I said, one sin always leads to another sin, and you just get deeper, deeper, and deeper. But we can take money as an example here, because that money, that love of money, not just money, because money is a tool. Money is something that we can use. Money is something that we have to use. Amen. Money is something that God wants to have a hold of that is in your pocketbook. Amen. Does that make sense this morning? He blesses us with our jobs. He blesses us with our skills, our talents, and our abilities. And He wants access to that. Amen. I'm not trying to get your money. Amen. But I got to tell you what the Scripture says. You know what I mean? That God wants access not only to your heart, not only to the things you say, but He wants access to your checkbook. Amen. Sometimes God will want you to bless somebody and buy them lunch, like me. That joke's kind of getting old, man. Yeah, I know. But anyways, one sin always leads to another sin. And you see where these rich folks, money was their God. And we see what else they're doing. They're ripping people off. They will do anything to keep that money. You know what I mean? Do anything to keep that money. Do anything to make more money, even not give it to the people that worked hard, the people that deserve it. Amen? That's what I'm saying, man. Sin, when we mess around with it, gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Amen? Can I get a witness? Okay, now check this out. Excuse me. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. God sees it. He knows about it. There will be a time of judgment, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. These moans, these cries have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. Now, James is coming old school, man, like an old school Old Testament prophet right here. This whole thing, man, he is just letting them have it. Amen. Repent, repent. If you don't, ain't nothing good coming for you. Amen? The Lord of hosts. Okay, rich people who are so used to buying people off, buying judges and lawyers off, and you can get away with anything and you can trample over everybody. Okay, you've had this Burger King life for so long, it's been your way right away. You know what I mean? You need to understand something. The Lord of hosts has taken notice, and there will be a time of judgment. James is letting them see a perfect picture of who God is. This is the Lord of hosts. This is the God of the armies of heaven. You don't have enough to win against the Lord of the armies of heaven. Amen. You don't, one angel can do a whole lot of damage. Amen. He's just saying, listen, you got to repent. You got to repent. This is not going to work out good for you. Amen? You have nothing. All you've been used to getting your way, and you surround yourself with yes men, and you think you're so cool, and nobody can beat you. Better think again. All God's people said, better recognize. Amen. Amen. Oh, my goodness. You have lived on earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. Time is running out for you. Remember that the story in the Gospels about the guy who worked so hard, you know, being productive and just getting more and more and more. It was another rich guy. He had to build more barns to hold all his stuff. And he said, okay, today I'm going to be able to rest. I've finally reached that place to rest. I'm just going to be able to sit back and enjoy it. And God said, you fool. This is a paraphrase. You fool. Today your soul is required of you. You know what I mean? We better get on that program where it's not about us anymore. Amen? Amen. We better get on that program where we intercede and we stand in the gap and we witness to a lost and dying world. We got to have a heart for those people. Amen? Y'all with me? You have lived on earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fatted your hearts. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. James is saying, you know what? You ain't acting like nothing's ever going to change. And your soul is going to be required of you before you even know it. Think about that, guys. Think about that. We don't know how long we have, and we don't know how long our loved ones have. And see, sometimes we got to snatch folks out of the fire. You know what I mean? Somebody has got to start praying for people. You know what I mean? Why are you saved? Why in the world do you think you're saved? Because Jesus loves you? Yeah. But somebody was praying for you. Somebody was praying for you. Verse 6, you have condemned and murdered the righteous person. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. Money is your God, rich guy. That's who you serve. So you rip people off, you hoard your money, you cheat people. You'll do anything to keep that money. You'll do anything to make that bottom line look good. Matter of fact, you'll go as far as to kill people. One sin leads to another sin, which leads to another sin. Look at King David's life. Look all through the Bible, man. That's why when we realize we're in a bad place, when we've allowed Satan to get a foothold that's turned into a stronghold in our life, we got to give that mess to the Lord. We got to repent. We got to regroup. We got to give it to the Lord. This is not how you want me to live. Amen? Y'all with me? Even murdering folks. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fed in your hearts in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. Not only are you willing to murder that guy out in your field, but see, the ungodly will raise his head against the saint. You know what I'm saying this morning? The righteous man